Welcome to Hungry for Answers with me, Robin Clare, recovery coach professional. Do you love food, alcohol, drugs, sex, social media, cigarettes, or gambling a little too much? The traditional narrative says that addiction to these vices is the problem. The truth is, they are just symptoms. This hit show takes you from recovery to your ultimate life as my special guests and I help you discover how underneath every vice is the addiction to the suffering that developed due to unhealed trauma. So what can you do? Hungry for Answers provides groundbreaking, proven solutions from my best-selling spiritual book, Feast and Famine, Healing Addiction with Grace. It's time to stop suffering and start living your ultimate life. You have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. Hungry for Answers starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hungry for Answers. This is going to be an interesting two-part segment. Today, on July 7th, will be part one. And on July 21st, Thursday at noon, will be part two. And it's just me. I have no guest for these two parts. What I'd love to talk to you about is my alter ego, who I call Jersey Girl. She is the sassy, aggressive, assertive, straight-talking part of me. And I want to tell you my history with Jersey Girl and how she has returned to my life and how I plan to integrate her into my life as a spiritual teacher. So obviously I grew up in New Jersey as a Jersey girl, and the Urban Dictionary describes the Jersey girl as almost always a lady until you mess with her, and then they will kick your butt. And that's me. Most people are really surprised because I'm so calm and I'm so gracious. But if somebody wrongs me or my family, it's this warrior version of me. I call her Jersey Girl, comes out. And these Jersey girls, I'm sure there's plenty of you listening. You can be you're the best kind of friend because your friends can always rely on you to back them up. And you're also a great mother because you become the mama bear for your kids. So maybe that's a great way for the moms that are listening or the dads. When you become that bear, you know, the mama bear or the papa bear for your kids, that's the energy that I'm referring to as Jersey Girl. So I grew up with two brothers. I was the only girl. And then eventually, after I grew up, my father passed away, and my mother remarried, and I got three more brothers. So I have five brothers. And I really grew up understanding the energy of the masculine, because I was also the only girl in my neighborhood. So if I wanted to have any friends, they were boys. And I learned how to play football and baseball and war, you know, all kinds of things that guys do. I was the typical tomboy. I was a very good athlete. And so that's how I grew up. And so once I became a young lady, you know, that began to change. It actually hurt to get tackled in football. So my mother suggested that I stop doing that. And then I went to high school and college, and I graduated, and I went into corporate America in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, that at that stage, you know, we were setting the stage for the generations now. Sometimes we did a good job and sometimes we didn't. When I first started to go into corporate America, I dressed like a man. I had on a suit with a tie. It might have been more silky and maybe tied in a bow, but it was definitely a tie. And we had to be like the men. And so I had an advantage there because I understood how to play with boys. So I became very successful in corporate America. I was tough. I was competitive, but I was always kind, but I was also flirty when I needed to be, because I was a young lady in corporate America. And of course, remember that this was before the Me Too movement. Like, everybody flirted with everybody in corporate America at that time. Everyone went out drinking, all these kind of things. So, it just was different. It was different than it is today. And so, you know, we also live through women. If women were tough and competitive, we were aggressive, and men were always assertive. Like, there was always a double standard for women that men didn't live through in corporate America. And so we had to find our way, you know, and then about, maybe 18 years into my corporate career, I started to really follow my spiritual path. And I realized that whatever I was learning and whatever was important to me that I did in my free time, I could not bring that into my corporate life. And that was hard. It was hard to be one person on the weekend going to anything, past life regression, meditation, yoga, reading all kinds of books. And then have to come back into corporate America and live what is really the corporate way. You know, spirituality in the 80s and 90s, you wouldn't talk about spirituality just like you really shouldn't talk about sex in the office. You just wouldn't do it. And so I had these two personalities, and I needed to be able to figure out how to become my authentic self. So I just one day decided, if people actually ask me what I did on the weekend, I'm going to tell them. Usually I would say I did the laundry. I went to baseball games. I took the kids, you know, we went to the movies, went out with my husband. But I decided, if they ask me, I'm going to tell them. And so they'd say, what did you do this weekend? And I'd be like, well, I went to a mediumship event or past life regression or shamanic, whatever it was. And their jaw would always drop down to their chest. And then they'd pick their jaw back up and they're like, oh my God, Robin, let me tell you what I'm into. And that actually became the market research for my business that I eventually left corporate America. It took me 3 years to get the courage to leave. And I left and I started a spiritual promotion company. And I started to look at how can I bring information to people? How can I make these spiritual teachers be successful financially, because spirituality and financial acumen don't necessarily go together. And we'll talk more about that in the show. So I decided that that's what I wanted to do. But what happened for me, I was so tired of this Jersey girl persona that I sort of banned her from my spiritual world. I didn't want her to come with me. And so what was I doing when I did that? I was kind of leaving, you know, we're comprised of both masculine and feminine energy. And in what I have come to learn is that our masculine energy, well, let me start with our feminine energy. Our feminine energy is our creator energy. It's where we're the most creative. I call her the creatrix. It's where the ideas are born, you know, where the ideas are come to the surface, then they're gestating for however long they need, and then you birth them, right? And so that's the creator, that's the feminine, right? Just like in the human world, create, you know, she's the creator of, you know, she holds the fetus and the infant and births a child. Of course, the masculine helps with that. I'm not saying it's all the woman, but in the spiritual world, so we have this creatrix, the feminine, and she is the sovereign, and she's, you know, she's the queen, sovereign queen, and it's required for her to hold her standards with impeccable integrity. And then she has, or he has, remember, because the men and women both have both sides. she's required to, I'm talking about she because I'm a she, to hold the masculine energy as well. And what is the masculine energy? The masculine energy is abundance. It's getting things done. It's just providing. It's providing. And so when I left corporate America, I left that part of me at corporate America. I left Jersey Girl there because I just was really tired of her. And so I left my ability to be abundant, to be assertive, to provide for myself and my family. And because really what I really, really, really wanted was to be like the spiritual goddess. I wanted to be peaceful. I wanted to wear long flowing clothes. I wanted to learn a whole new language and hang out with all new people. And I wanted to just go with the flow of life. And so I kind of went overboard there. I became codependent on spirit. And so what does that mean to be codependent on spirit? It means that we rely on spirit to tell us what to do and what not to do. I couldn't remember that I had this part of me that was very successful, this Jersey Girl part of me in corporate America. And I didn't think I could bring her with me because I thought, is there room for her and me, spiritual Robin and spirit? Like, is everybody going to be a part of this? And does Jersey Girl, is she a contradiction to spiritual Robin? I'm not sure. At least I'm not sure now. And I am sure now she's not, but I thought she was then. And when I talk about codependent with spirit, honestly, for most of that time, I was like, well, if something good's happening, it was because spirit wanted it to happen for me. And if something bad happened, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. I must have said, I guess it just wasn't meant to be 1,000 times. Because what was happening is I was, all of this wonderfulness was coming to me. You know, I had centers, I had space, I had events, I had people, I had spiritual cinema that I was helping distribute. And I assumed it was all spirit bringing it to me. I had completely lost sight of the fact that I was the manifester of my own life or the creator of my own life. I truly believe that all good things that were happening to me were from spirit. All bad and ugly things were lessons that spirit wanted me to learn. And it wasn't, I completely lost sight of my own personal power and my own professional power. So to reiterate that Jersey Girl was my masculine energy, my provider, and I left my financial abundance energy at my desk in corporate. And so at one point, I thought maybe I could bring Jersey Girl back, but not the way she was. I thought, well, let me give her a new job. Let me have her be the enthusiasm behind whatever I'm doing. And that worked, but it didn't allow me to be financially abundant because I didn't value myself. And that was something that I really needed to learn. I didn't understand what it meant to value myself because I had been in corporate America so long. And anytime you're in corporate America, you have to, if you really, really think about corporate America, it is an abundance machine, right? I mean, look, we know that's where all the money is for the most part. in this world is in corporate America. And so when you go into corporate America, somebody tells you what your value is to begin with. Then if you're given work, and if you do it well over a certain amount of time, you're guaranteed to receive more money at the end of the year, whether it's just a performance review or a promotion, and maybe you get other perks. And then you start over again and you learn your job and you become of value. And then you get a performance review, and then maybe you get another promotion, and then you move on to something else, and then you start the process over again. And so this is how corporate America worked, right? There was this built-in manifesting model. And I didn't know how to value myself when I came out of corporate America. I just didn't know how to do it. And so it has taken me years and years to learn how to place a value on my work, and to place a value not only on my work, but a value on what I'm doing and who I'm doing it with and how much time I want to do it. You know, the beauty of being an entrepreneur is that you can decide all those things. And yet entrepreneurs work harder than anybody else because they don't know how to value themselves. They don't know how to protect their time. They don't know how to protect all their, you know, how to get everything done. And so they're always, always chasing their tails. And there comes a time in your life as a entrepreneur where you say, wait a minute, I really am good at this. And if I hold the vibration of that and I hold my value, people will come to me. And that is really, really important. So as I said earlier, I knew how to create. I've never been at a loss for creating. I've written books, I've done events, I've done everything. I just didn't know how to really monetize that. And so what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the why I needed Jersey Girl in the next segment and how I've integrated her back in. And what I think the role of the masculine is in business going forward in this new age of spirituality that we're in. What I can say to you is that we really need both. We need to recognize that we are both masculine and feminine. The feminine, again, being the creatrix. She's the one that's going to come up with the ideas and let it gestate, and then it's going to be there and it's going to be ready, and she's going to put it out into the world. She's going to birth it. But where's her masculine? Where's her masculine energy? Where is that? Where is the part of her or the part of him that says, how can I serve you, my feminine queen, feminine part of myself? How can I provide for you? And it takes the feminine holding the standards for her life with impeccable integrity. And then the masculine knows that he or she is ready to receive what is rightfully theirs. And so this, what I call Jersey Girl, my masculine, is what's really important to arrive. And so when in the next episode, I'm also going to talk about how Jersey Girl did arrive, and how she got there, and how I observed her, like what the heck was going on? Who is this? And now, you know, how can I integrate this energy back into my life? And so I want to encourage all of you to look at you, if you're working really, really hard and you're really being creative and you're not manifesting the life that you want, look at where you are being too dependent on spirit, you know, or too dependent on others. You could be too dependent on other people. Where are you not owning your own masculine and owning your ability to manifest the life that you most desire? And so that's our show for today. I want to remind you that you can reach me at www.clarity.com. That's clarity.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, Clarity by Robin on Instagram and Clarity with Robin on Facebook. And for those of you that don't know a lot about my work, I am a writing coach, and I work with writers who have a trauma story that they've lived through, that they've healed, and now they want to share that story and their healing process with the world, and I work with them to create a manuscript. However, currently, I'm working on an anthology, and that anthology is called Surrender Your Story. And this anthology, we're looking for writers to write one chapter of their surrender story, of how they surrender their trauma, healed it, you know, receive the grace of healing, and then use their healed self, their sovereign self, to make a difference in the world of their own life, of the lives of their children, or of the lives of their clients. And you can get more information about the Surrender Your Story anthology by going to Green Heart Living Press. And I'm also a public speaker and a spiritual messenger, life coach, and recovery coach. So check out my website at www.clarity.com and set up an appointment with me. And I look forward to hearing from you. And so until I speak with you on the 21st of July at noon, I wish you a wonderful summer. Thank you very much. Thank you for tuning into Hungry for Answers. Learning to love ourselves is the one true solution to addiction. Make a commitment to healing today and see how you can reach your ultimate potential. Remember, you have a divine right to a life filled with love, joy, peace, and abundance. To learn more about me and my offerings, please go to clarity.com. That's Claire, clarity.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.